used to pass for education, now looks more like ignoration. Take the people's money and slip it to the corporation. Yellow rain, golden shower, pesticide, firepower, summon feudal demons of sweatshop subjugation. Work fair, foul air, homeless beggars everywhere, picture phone aristocrats lounge around the pool. Captains of industry smiling beneficently, leaky hull, super tanker, ship of fools.
Hey everybody, this is Diane, and you are here for a special edition of This Conversation Rocks. Todd, why don't you let us know?
Because funk. Hey, this is Todd in Los Angeles, and we're joined tonight by our special guest,
Bob Williams.
Yay!
Bob in Seattle.
Bob in Seattle.
That's right, you'll always be known as Bob in Seattle.
Have we already messed this up like 2 minutes in?
Fuck no.
Oh, always, but that's why Di gets to edit this one.
Oh, gotcha. That's brutal. I'm not into editing, man. I just dump it and go.
I was wondering. All right, so we're really super excited because, hey, Hannah, there is a Santa Claus. Wait, nope, not a Santa Claus. There is a minimum wage episode. A year in the making.
We're gonna try,
and tonight we're doing it.
We're gonna try to be somewhat articulate.
I think we could be very articulate.
Hot
we just
damn.
Might not. Yeah. As compared to last week, where the drinking game was every time Todd says "fuck."
Sorry, but right, I'll tell you now, I laugh a lot constantly, which is good. This is my therapy. I should be sending Todd $200 an hour.
There you go.
Could do that. PayPal all the way.
No, you need to get your PayPal shit together, man.
No, I have PayPal.
You didn't tell me that.
He's been hiding it from you.
He has been. I've been trying to pay our bills in a more timely fashion and failing. And
it just occurred to me that we could do that. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
so
I'm new to PayPal, right? I decided to join the 20th century this week.
I'm right. So glad.
Whatever you do, don't lose your password, because they're going to require a stool sample to get a new one set for you.
Oh my god. Okay, so this is totally not related to the minimum wage, but here we go. So I was the treasurer for the Alaska Nurse Practitioner Association first couple of years out of school, and I lost the PayPal password.
Oh, that's like purgatory.
And we had like most of our funds for our conference tied up in PayPal, and it was torture.
Yeah.
We finally got to it, but it was very, very painful, and I was quite chagrined. So.
Oh, good word, chagrined. Yeah. You should have been.
I was.
Yeah, don't be chagrined, Todd.
Yeah, no, we're good. No, in fact, actually, the Atterbury Group has a PayPal account as well, so.
Most excellent. I will be expecting that via my email here shortly.
Okay, cool, yeah. Right, but then, so, where are we at with the election cycle?
Okay, so
Bernie won West Virginia. He's won a couple.
And
since
he's
last
expected time. To win the two tomorrow.
Which are what?
Oh, God, you would ask that. Kentucky and Oregon.
No shit, Kentucky?
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oregon he'll crush.
Right.
Yes,
just like,
he will.
Just like Washington. That's going to be a landslide.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it won't make a difference.
Not that it matters.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah, she's so close now, right? She needs like 100. Assuming that the superdelegates all stay with her, which there's no reason to think they won't.
Yeah, they've been given their marching orders.
Yep.
Amen. That's exactly what it is.
Sorry, I guess I should just get out of the way now. I was a Bernie guy. Not super happy about Hillary, but Trump's a clown.
I think you're in the right room, because
this is the correct podcast for that, yes.
Okay, good. I was thinking there was like a 10% chance I might be offending some Hillary people tonight. But
I don't know that any Hillary people listen to us, but hey, I want to give a shout out, by the way. Speaking of that, I want to give another shout out to Michelle.
Yay!
Who through my wife, let me know that she really appreciated last week's shout out.
Oh, very cool.
So, we're famous. Just keep second doing 15 it. Minutes. Second 15 minutes right here.
All right. So,
and Judith Kaufman said she is listening. We got that message on our Facebook page. So thank you, Judith.
That's right. That's right. Thank you very much, Judith. And anybody else, everybody else who's listening to us and not telling us, because we know there's thousands of you.
Millions.
Millions.
Millions in hiding. The That's quiet right. majority.
Okay, come on. Pony up, quiet majority, because we want more listeners.
That's right.
So, Cruz, so
you said you had some news updates, so yeah.
So Cruz has rejected the idea of being getting a Supreme Court nomination.
Oh, I missed that.
So that I thought was kind of important.
Yeah.
Wow, and for him, that is amazing because, I mean, think about how many people he could just shit on.
Oh, I know, right?
At one time, and it would be unlimited. It'd be like an open-ended ticket to just dumping on people.
No kidding, right? Man.
He would be able to. Yeah. He would be able to successfully prosecute his war on sex toys.
And masturbation.
Thereby yep. putting me out of business completely.
Exactly. Also, let's see what else. Oh, Ben Carson, if we believe this, is actually on the vice presidential committee for Trump.
So you know? I saw a headline that he was running Veep names today, and I'm wondering if you heard of any of them.
Well, he came out a couple days ago and said that it was Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Sarah Palin, and Kasich.
So three of those people are going to say hell no. And didn't we already do Sarah Palin?
But wouldn't it be great to come back to her? Because, you know, tanking one presidential ambition was not enough.
Yeah. Like to see her take out a second one. That'd be pretty awesome.
Seriously, totally awesome. You guys, you have no idea what it's like to live so close to Wasilla because all I get...
It must just be like looking out your backyard and seeing Russia.
It is. I can see the Kremlin from my front window.
Who can? I mean,
and Krasnaya Polshad, right, Todd?
Exactly. Bolshaya Gora.
No, I could definitely see Bolshaya Gora, but, yeah. You know, just in honor of Sarah, I can see Krasnaya Polshad, too.
Yep.
Red Square, in case you don't speak Russian, Bob.
That would be the guy. I would be the non-Russian speaking guy here.
Well, right? I'm the...
Along with the what is it? It's Vladivostok, right? Is the East Coast city anyway?
Yeah, Vladivostok.
Yep. So yeah, definitely should be able to see the naval pens at Vladivostok. You know, if you're at the very tip of the Aleutian chain.
Yeah, right. Where Sarah Palin lives, except she lives like 30 miles away from me.
Right.
Freak. Well, freak.
Anyway. Bob and I personally are endorsing Sarah Palin for vice president. We're going to go ahead and step out there. I think I can speak for you, right, Bob?
Yeah, I feel pretty good with that, yeah.
And it's not just because she's a 10?
That would definitely fill up the rest of the clown car.
only thing that can make this better would be something like, you know, you've decided already that Michelle Bachmann should be the head of Health and Human Services.
Oh, my God.
where she could talk about the which vaccine was it that caused mental retardation?
Oh, the HPV vaccine.
Right. Yeah. So she can bring that back.
You know, I have relatively intelligent people in my life who refuse to use the HPV vaccine, and I'm like, what the fuck? You are condemning your kids to a life of anal cancer, penile cancer, or cervical cancer. Have fun.
This public service announcement brought to you by This Conversation Rocks.
Yeah, come on, liberals. Let's not be crazy now. We're going a little too far here.
No shit, man.
I mean, that's one that seriously, that one tends to be like a liberal one that I just don't get. It's like, aren't we smarter than this?
It's totally, and I hate to say it because I'm going to insult some of my friends, but it's totally granola cruncher hippies who feel that way, who are so crazy about vaccines.
It is. Every time I hear that from somebody, I feel like I've got muffin crumbs in my teeth.
And your man bun is coming undone.
Exact man bun all the way. Boy, that is a hot look. Talk about bringing sexy back.
Just going down that path for just a second. Because even on Kit Harington, it looks really fucking lame. Yeah,
it's not a good look. But you know, I live in Washington where we've got lumber sexuals, so I'm just used to stupid looks all the time. So
we have a fair number of lumber sexuals up here too.
The lumber sexuals up there as well.
Yeah. I've not heard that term before.
That would be the very fashionable statement of lumber boots or like wood cutting boots, jeans, the plaid long sleeve T-shirt, the Al Qaeda beard, and some kind of stupid little beanie.
Right, you live in downtown. 100 right. miles from Forest.
Kind of like a dumber version of Where's Waldo?
Only in plaid.
All the time, man.
Right about the plaid.
Yeah, that is the sexy look up here, man. You do that, you're gonna be using some of that lumber to beat the ladies away from you.
Okay.
Well, I do.
Sorry,
have to
forget. I feel like we're getting a little off track.
This public service announcement also brought to you by this conversation.
I'm going to take us a little farther off the path because I just feel like I have to share this. So, Oregon, Washington, it looks like the glitter beard is going to make its debut in Willow, Alaska this fall.
I have not heard that. Please tell me that's not as stupid as it sounds.
Oh, no, the glitter beard is the real deal.
Like, is it literally glitter in your beard?
So it's usually like some kind of bright hair color in your beard, whether it's temporary, sprayed in, whatever. And then it's accented heavily with glitter.
Who in the hell thought that was a good idea? I might hit somebody on accident right in the face like 3 or 4 times.
I don't know, but my husband is thinking about fucking with the planet in general and doing it this fall.
And I thought skinny jeans on guys was a bad idea.
Skinny jeans on anyone is a bad idea.
I don't know. I've seen some women that can pull it off, but on guys, oh please stop. It's just nobody needs to see that.
See, Hannah, we are talking about the minimum wage.
Yeah. Pandering. Yeah.
All right, anything else in the news this week besides glitter beards and lumber sexuals?
Well, the Trump.
Right, Donald.
When is the Trump not in the news?
Right.
Donald's
got, you know, so yeah, Donald went off the rails again today over Warren.
Not only that, but also David Cameron.
Right, yeah, picking a fight.
Oh, yes. Did you see that, Todd? The David Cameron thing? So Cameron called him stupid, right? And his response was, I'm not stupid. Let's take an IQ test to prove it. And like, didn't that just prove that you're stupid? Like, what are you, 5? Like, I'm not dumb. You're dumb. Let's take an IQ test. This guy's like a man child, you know, and then those tiny little creepy hands. How the hell does anybody look at this guy and go, that's the one I want? Who does this? Like, are the other brain cells busy doing something else?
Like, the other brain cells retired a long time ago.
He's like a giant child. This guy is so easy to egg on. Like, I mean, Warren's tweets to him were a perfect example. She just talked to him like he was a little child throwing a temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. And look how pissed he is. And as other people have noticed, whiniest bitch ever. Jesus. Like, that's all you have to do to crush this guy while he's talking, I'm a winner because I win, and that's why I'm a winner.
And like,
you know,
like
the speech from a 3-year-old. Yeah. Like, all you got to do is rip this guy like he's a stupid little kid. You know, just talk to him like he's a dumbass, which he is. And, you know, so, I mean, you're kind of being honest. He'll just crumble. He's like the total bully guy that, you know. He falls apart with that same thing. You know, you confront him, they just crumble. He's that guy. I don't know how they're not seeing it. Like, and I'm kind of a little scared that Clinton keeps going, oh, Bernie was doing such a, you know, he was just playing such dirty politics. By what? Talking about your past?
Yeah, she has no fucking idea. If she thinks that's bad.
Like, you think that's bad?
Yeah.
Like, just wait until the mud starts flinging, man. I mean, this is going to be like a monkey cage that had, like, acid dropped in.
So I would like to say something about the negotiator-in-chief. He actually even said that he expected to have a very poor relationship with David Cameron, which just really bodes well for our foreign policy.
Yeah, well, I think it was, clearly Mexico, but I think it was like Germany too, someone else over there, and it might be soon to be Britain. I basically told them, don't bother coming over because you're not allowed in, in the country.
And Vicente Fox, full-on middle finger in the public, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Never thought I'd have that much respect for Vicente.
Yeah, Vicente has definitely been like, you know, fuck that guy.
Yeah. And then Elizabeth Warren. Todd, you brought her up.
Yeah.
She ate a taco salad. Come on.
The Hispanics.
That show how much he loves Hispanics. He ate a taco salad.
He ate a taco salad, the most American of Mexican food, on Cinco de Mayo, the most American of Mexican holidays.
Clearly.
Okay, because, so on to the Liz Warren thing. I think we're going to go back. I'm sorry, I talked over you. But he called her Pocahontas today, which kind of flipped me out. In a really not nice way.
Because apparently she's got some Native American in her. So.
So his way of responding to, I'm talking to you like a 5-year-old, is to call her names.
But the best name, but let's be honest, the best name she could come up with is he could come up with was Pocahontas.
Apparently. Like,
come on.
Well, he just watched that Disney movie, so it's still fresh in his mind from the 8 replays.
He was checking out the Disneyfication of history.
He's struggling to find the deeper meaning.
He was looking for, somebody asked him what happened originally when the pilgrim showed up, so he was catching up on that. Yeah.
Gotta learn American history somewhere.
Absolutely. And no better place than Disney movies.
Isn't totally accurate.
Besides all the girls.
This Disney ad brought to you by This Conversation Rocks. Feel free to kick down some money to us, Disney.
Free tickets. Free tickets.
One night at Club 33. That's all we're asking for. We'll even pay the admission price.
That would actually be pretty cool. But I'm not going to hold my breath.
Oh, fuck no. But if we ever do score the Club 33 tickets, you guys got to come down and join us.
Okay, we will.
Yeah. But anyway.
Did she respond back to him yet?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. I kind of stopped at the Pocahontas comment, quite honestly.
She might still be laughing. Yeah. How threatening is this guy? You like Pocahontas. Okay. Wow, you actually said that word. Probably the biggest word he's used in 6 months.
I bet it is, actually.
I think that I was surprised he did spell it correct.
Somebody probably checked it for him.
He had the Disney movie sitting right in front of him.
and I'm sure he was like, man, and she's hot.
Exactly. I'm telling you, all the Disney girls are a 10.
Well, you know, unless you're Donald Trump, then they're all 9s because the only thing that's a 10 is, you know, your Russian dog. Bride.
Or the Donald himself.
Yeah. Or his daughter, right? Who he would date.
He would date. Creepy.
Now I definitely need the wire brushes again. I'm not sending them to you, Bob.
That's all right. Might need them more than me.
Okay, so the reason we gathered here tonight, though, was to talk about the latest wave of Democratic pandering, also known as the minimum wage increases, where across the board, except at the federal level, we have a lot of cities and states looking at raising the minimum wage up to $15 an hour.
And Seattle did, correct?
Yes, they did vote to do that, although it's going in waves. So.
Ah, okay. And New York did at the same time.
And LA raised it to $15 an hour, but it's staggered for certain things. And California as a whole then actually did it, which I think supersedes. Anyway.
Right. Up here, I think it's just the Seattle.
Right.
County of Seattle. Yeah. So, I mean, or this county that Seattle's in. So, yeah, I don't, that's going to be weird, you know, I mean, let's draw more people to downtown, we can barely drive there now, and a burger will cost you $87 for lunch.
But the question is raising the minimum wage a good idea?
You know, I mean, I feel, I've had this conversation with a bunch of people, I know a bunch of people that work at McDonald's and stuff, and even some of my friends at McDonald's, they're like, okay, we get it, it sounds great, but I don't know that it's really going to change anything because my rent's just going to immediately go up, and when it's all said and done and all my food and rent and everything goes up, I'm probably going to be about 5% behind where I'm at now. You know, and it's like, yeah, I mean, they didn't really change anybody's buying power. I think that's a problem. That's
right, because what you're doing is you're actually just raising the artificial floor, right?
Right, and yeah, you're not changing any real
dynamics.
Power. Yeah, it looks good on paper, but effectively does almost nothing.
Well, I'm going to give you the conservative argument and Bernie Sanders argument. So, you ready?
We can guess the conservatives, but feel free, fire away.
So guess who articulated the conservative argument?
Donald Trump.
Michelle Bachmann. Crazy eyes.
because nothing says economic understanding
like Michelle crazy Bachmann. Eyes. So she says, and I can't remember where I read this. I want to say that this is all from a Forbes article that I looked at. Eliminating federal minimum wage law will be, quote, responsible job creation that will wipe out unemployment. There's no evidence to support this, of course. And what did I say?
Okay, let me see if I understood it so far. That by abolishing the minimum wage, we will reach 100% employment.
We're going to create tons of jobs. Because no everyone will be fighting for that 25 cent an hour job.
Right, but then everybody's going to be mad because Hispanics will be taking them, right? Right. They're taking our jobs. Yeah, whatever. You know, kind of hard
okay.
to blame
everybody. Can we get a better conservative argument? Because Michelle Bachmann just was not even...
I mean, think about it. We've got these giant corporations that not only pretty much don't pay taxes anymore because of all of the oops, we left loopholes in there that you guys could use, right. But they like some of them practically get money back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, where's the jobs? Where aren't they supposed to be like just raining down from the sky now? Like, where is it? We've been hearing this for 20 years and it's never materialized.
Yeah.
Where was it? I mean, well, yeah, even yeah, longer. But I mean, you know, I mean, you had
core Reaganomics.
But I mean, our last pass with greatness when we had W in there and the Republicans owned every house there is to own. Like, where are the jobs? Why were we all unemployed in the economy in the shitter all of a sudden? Like, supposed to be like the golden age? Weren't we all supposed to crap gold bricks suddenly?
It's Barack Obama's fault.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, that's what he gets for being black, right?
He crashed the economy in 2008. He had amazing power even as a freshman senator.
Before he was even in the... I know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, no, all of this is to the point, really, which is... behind the scenes, of course, this is just pandering the Democrats trying to make it sound like they want to do something to help the people, but... So... One of the things I was really looking at, right, was like, you know, who's supporting, who's against, you know, and trying to find some economic white papers. But interestingly enough, all I could really find were white papers written by either pro labor union think tanks or pro business, very conservative business think tanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're kind of gonna. Have to just eyeball this one a little bit, for lack of a better way to say it, but this is what I know. I got a client, and they are a distribution center, warehouse distribution center, and they've got a machine that straps the pallets, and this machine, buying two of these machines, allowed the company to go from 8 people strapping everything down to 2 people strapping everything every day, right? The machine paid for itself, and it's a minimum wage job.
Wow.
And I mean, first of all, that's exactly what you kind of expect to happen, you know, is automation. You keep finding ways to automate stuff. That's the whole purpose of technology, you know, technology in the first place is to automate things. So I think that people should be really paying attention to the concept of by raising the minimum wage up to $15 an hour, now some of these machines that were expensive to do automation with, now they're not so expensive.
Right. And the technology is constantly getting cheaper, so it's more and more of a risk as time goes on.
Right. Sorry.
Well, I mean,
I have no idea where the hell my phone is, but it's totally disrupting, so my apologies.
It's okay.
Keep it down over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, and then you think about a lot of the other automation that's coming out of other, you know, the tech sector, for example, like self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that will completely gut the truck driving industry. And that's, I mean, you already got California and some big states putting out licenses to people to start driving these things around as a test bed, mm-hmm. which means we're 5 years away. We're 5 years away from this being like a thing that you can just go get a license for your self-driving car, go buy one, and that's it. Bam, you got one.
Wow, right? That's crazy.
Every trucking company in the world is going to get those. And, you know, I mean, in Europe, they just did a big test with a convoy of trucks. I think it was 6 trucks, like big, full-length beds, like doubled up on one semi, and they had like 6 of these guys. They drove completely from one side of Europe all the way to the other without a single problem. And so it's coming. I mean,
well, and so then it's not just the trucking industry.
Yeah, it's everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, automation, that's just one thing, right? And I mean, I can't even really give you, and I'm in technology. I read about technology voraciously, and I can't even keep an eye on all the different things that people are talking about. Yeah, we can automate this and we can automate that. You know, Amazon's talking about automating delivery of their stuff. You know, it's just like, think about all the kinds of things that are 10 years ago were too hard to do, but with an automated car or a vehicle that can drive through public and be fully licensed and safe, man, I mean, there's millions of jobs probably right there that are going to just vanish.
So by making workers too expensive, in other words, we're making it easier for the companies to get tech to replace them.
Sure.
That's the bottom line.
It's absolutely one of the consequences, unintended consequences of this. There are certain, because the problem is that minimum wage is the wage you pay unskilled labor.
Right.
Well, unskilled labor by its very nature is interchangeable and completely replaceable. And fast food places, they don't employ as many people as they used to. I mean, automation from when I worked in fast food 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can see it just going to McDonald's or wherever. You can see some of the things they put in place, the automatic drink stations and everything. You know, I just saw a company that purports to have a fully automated burger making line, right? Totally mechanical, completely make burgers, 25 square foot bread.
Yeah, and I mean they're even cutting down on, they're using technology to wipe out like the ordering staff, right? Wasn't it McDonald's we were reading about that? They've got somebody sitting in a call center literally taking your order right there at the
wow.
Yeah, and I mean now they're just getting rid of, I mean all the deadwood and anything that can be whittled away will be, and it's going to be way more than people think. And it's not going to just be fast food. It's going to be, you know, any kind of driving, like I bet taxi companies, like Uber, everybody, taxi companies are scared about Uber and stuff. Forget that.
Taxi companies and Uber should be terrified. Yeah.
Well, actually, taxi companies are probably, as it changes over, taxi cabs potentially could be back in business.
Yeah, or they might be the ones that instigate that change.
Right, because they're fully used to doing fleet management anyway.
Right.
But then they don't have any tech, but they don't need any drivers.
Right. I mean, and having driverless cars, you know, I mean, that kind of negates the need for Uber.
So let me tell you guys what I read in Forbes. Let me just share it with you, and then let me ask you a question. So what I read in Forbes was changes in minimum wage have little to no impact on employment. There are several studies that support this. So you guys are totally crushing that argument as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't think they've ever had the kind of technology available to do the things that they're gonna. It's gonna happen no matter what, whether the minimum wage changes or not. These changes are coming, right? But I think this just helps speed that process along, right? Instead of it being kind of a warm reception, now it's going to be a little bit warmer reception.
So you know? Now my question is, because you know I do support a fair living wage for everyone, as I support basic healthcare for everyone, is what do we do with these people who are displaced? I mean, the way that the two of you are talking, it sounds like there are going to be huge numbers of people displaced from employment in the very near future. What do we do?
First and foremost, look at all of our track records and realize that our ability to predict the future is never never as good as we make it sound right at this very moment.
So we can't count Bob in that. It's just you and me taking responsibility for two episodes ago.
Right, but I absolutely do believe that automation has has just been pushing unskilled labor out for decades.
Sure.
And all we're doing is seeing more of that occurring and everything. The problem, I think, is that, again, minimum wage is about unskilled labor. That's the problem. So, I mean, first and foremost, the single best thing to do is try to get people a better education.
Yeah.
You know, so that they can get a job that is skilled labor, you know, compared to working minimum wage. I mean, the funny thing is, like, you remember how many people used to be employed at a supermarket?
Right.
And how few people are there now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know how they are in California, but I know up here they have lots of self-checkout.
Yeah. Here too.
Lots of it.
Everywhere you're starting to see the self-checkout thing. I even saw some demo kiosks at Jack in a Box a couple years ago for actually doing the order. You know, you can walk in and just order right off the kiosk.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
And the thing is, like, you know, I looked at it and I could see where they're going, and I still use the person to order because they're standing right there.
Right.
But the thing is the day that person isn't standing there, then we're using the kiosk. The same thing has been true of the self-checkout stuff, right? The only thing that's prevented the self-checkout supermarket from taking over completely is the fact that if you've got more than 15 items in your cart, it's completely inefficient for you to do the checkout.
Well, and there are Luddites like me who actually like the human-to-human interactions, so I know we're a dying breed, but...
I know up here, and I don't know if they have them there, but I know here there's a couple of places where you can call, order your stuff online, and a truck shows up.
I have seen some of that. It's mostly food service up here, and it's urban.
Yeah, and they've been trying this. They've been trying this now, on and off since the late '90s in Seattle and stuff. And I think they're finally starting to get it to hum, right? Because Amazon's now got one of the big services for doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean there was a huge thing in TechCrunch today or yesterday. I can't remember, saying that Amazon's going to be selling its own private label groceries now. So you can just go on Amazon's website, order all your groceries, and it just pops right up to your door, right? You know, so I mean, it's getting to the point where we'll never have to walk outside ever again,
which is a whole different problem.
Right, it's a different problem, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the point being is that I think in pretty much every sector, if you were able to really look at what's coming, there's technology coming that's going to replace unskilled labor. You know, I know, like, to answer Diane's question a little bit, you and me talked about this a little bit the other day, Todd. I honestly don't know what we're going to do. Like, I seriously don't even have an idea. I know there's some Scandinavian countries that for the first time this year are going to try just giving everybody a minimum wage.
A living
that they
wage.
Just get. Yeah. Whether they're working or not, no matter what, you get this much, right? And then if you have a job and you're making money, you can make that on top of this amount. But even they don't really know how that's going to go. I mean, I'd love to think that that is something that can work, and I'm hoping that somebody that's a hell of a lot smarter than me can figure it out. But I have this real haunting feeling that that's going to be a hard one to pull off, right?
Right.
Especially here where, you know, if I can't have it, none of my neighbors can have it either.
Right. Yeah. I was just going to say, that's a thing in this country, and I've got people like this in my circle of friends. You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, and we're not giving it to you. And how dare you ask for anything to be given to you? So how the hell are we going to make that fly here with attitudes like that?
And now you're talking about, you know, I mean, part of it's got to be education, because now you're talking about people that don't have enough money that they actually can contribute back into an economy. So now that's just dead weight, right? Anything that goes to them is now officially out of the economy. They're just using that resource and nothing's returning, right? So, I mean, that kind of is the worst way to go.
So, but then when we're talking about education, in the minds of some of my more conservative, less thoughtful friends, you know, then we're talking about giveaways for education, healthcare, and wages.
Yeah, but I got to tell, I mean, I will come out once again, you know, anybody who is against public education is...
Kidding himself.
No, right? Because we have all benefited from public education. Even if you went to private school, you benefited from the fact that all the people around you got an education at the public system.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you got places like Germany now where their education system's free. Period. That's
which,
it.
Which
and
absolutely people, should be here too. But
yeah, and there are people moving there from all over the world, literally to the point where they can pick and choose the best minds to come in, get these educations, and then, hey, you know what? They learned the language while they were here, and now we can give them incentives to stay and work in our technology markets and build our technology, you know, our Silicon Valley and stuff. And it's happening. I honestly believe that is going to be a huge boon for Germany, and we're so xenophobic about brown people or anybody getting anything that they didn't earn. You know, I mean, it's stupid. We're cutting off our own nose.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're all going to pay for it. It's not going to just be some of us. It's going to be all of us. We need everybody to contribute to the economy, and we are stopping every single avenue that's going to allow that to happen by our just being idiotic about how we approach this.
You know, and the thing is that minimum wage isn't about a living wage, even though people want to make it sound like that in the U.S. and everything. Minimum wage is just the concept of, if we don't put a floor in here, employers will pay people peanuts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's all the minimum wage is about, is trying to have a floor that doesn't, you know.
Right, because it's a race to the bottom otherwise, because someone will always do it less than you will. Right.
Well, so now I'm going to articulate the liberal perspective that Forbes talked about, and they said basically there is firmer scientific ground to raise the minimum wage, and the reason is the spirit of the law, because it protects the least powerful from predation, basically, and that it really is a social proposal. It's not about lowering unemployment or raising unemployment. It's about making sure that people who don't have power and resources still have an ability to protect themselves and live reasonable lives.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but interesting enough, we talked about this quite a while ago, but I'll go back to it. Like, probably the only good idea that I ever heard come out of Ben Carson.
Yeah. Oh, pyramid grain silos.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that, other than that idea, but and there was an interview on NPR's Wall Street wrap up show. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, is it the money show that they run? Yeah, Marketplace. They run
Marketplace
in the evening here.
Yeah. So he was doing an interview on Marketplace, and they asked him about the minimum wage thing, and he said that minimum wage probably should just be pegged to cost of living. And I think that that's probably the best solution. Because that way, at the bottom, you're not losing your buying power when the cost of living is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
It just scales.
It just scales, and it really has no impact
one
way or another, right? Because the only reason to go from $8 an hour to $15 an hour is to get you to vote for Democrats.
Well, you know, and I think I mentioned this to you, Todd, that the last time we talked about it, I had actually just read a thing that said, really, if you want to be competitive and if you want people to have a living wage, it should be $22 an hour.
But the problem is, of course, is that 3 years from now, then it should be $28.
Right, exactly. But you said it yourself, and Bob agreed, it's scaling up depending on what the economy's doing.
Yeah.
Right. Then it's a blind process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to. Someone's not sitting there trying to fine tune
to sell
scale.
You a particular number. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is either way, because as long as you're not changing someone's buying power, the actual number you get is meaningless, because that lack of buying power continues to scale the higher the minimum wage goes.
Right.
You know, and honestly, what it's going to turn into me, and it's not that big of a deal, is it's effectively, I work in Seattle, it's effectively, it, because everything is going to go up, that's a pay decrease for me. My buying power, and I'm not even affected by this, just got a little bit weaker because my rent's going to go up, my food's going to go up, cost of living is going to go up. My company's not looking, I work for a manufacturer, they're not looking to hand me money.
And so, the other thing is that it's really stupid for communities to be doing this independently. You know, you need to be doing, if you're going to do this, you have to do it at the state level, preferably at the federal level.
Yeah, it should be across the board.
Right, because the problem is, like in Seattle, well, then I want to take my unskilled labor operation and move it outside of Seattle, right? Move it up to Everett, where I don't have to pay $15 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, or, you know, or whatever, right? And the problem is that gets into this whole other problem, race to the bottom and just, you know, other stupid shit that goes along with doing this. I suspect we're disappointing Hannah.
Well, no. So I was just thinking that's a very interesting argument because you're exactly right. If one county in Washington State has a $15 minimum wage, you run into both problems. You run into the problem that Bob articulated earlier, which is that everybody's going to want to flow into Seattle and take the $15 an hour jobs. And then, Todd, you're exactly right. Anybody who's got a company that doesn't want to pay that, because we're talking about a very small area, has the freedom to move out beyond King County, and they can continue to pay whatever the hell they want to pay, or at least down to the federal minimum wage at this point.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it's also going to have an effect where I don't know how many people this would affect, but you know, if you're making a minimum wage and you're living in Seattle, you know, and all those jobs move out all of a sudden, bye. Yeah. You're going to be moving out too, right? You know, so I mean, now you get that Silicon Valley effect, right? You know, people that got better paying jobs are now in the area. Mm-hmm. People with lower paying jobs are getting moved out because they have no choice. And I don't know that there's any conspiracy there that like that was the plan, but I think you start to get a little bit of that effect as well, you know, and now, which is going to be another one of those things that, I mean, you go down and look at the cost of living in San Francisco, you know, and it's climbing pretty high because you've got so many people with money down there just getting an apartment. It's like ridiculous. It's like buying a house.
Well, and I was just thinking, I've got a friend who lives in Seattle who's dealing with gentrification issues right now. And you're absolutely right, Bob. If you turn it into a situation like Silicon Valley, then she's just that much worse off because she's fighting gentrification in her neighborhood.
Yeah, the worst thing you can ever do is have to deal with the Silicon Valley situation.
Right. I mean, Little's probably okay because, you know, you bring a little more money into the area, but like at a certain point that unbalances really easily.
Right. And the truth of the matter is that we know in Seattle, right, it's gotten way out of balance over Issaquah, Redmond, right?
Oh, yeah.
Eastern side of the lake is crazy.
When I was looking to rent an apartment, I looked down closer to where I work, right, and like, forget it. It was higher than my mortgage.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, are you kidding me? And it's a shoebox. It's literally like a 600-foot apartment, and they want $2,200 a month. I'm like, are you nuts? And that didn't include the parking. If you want a parking spot, that's another $300 a month. It's like, wow.
And that is a direct in Seattle.
Todd, that's in Ballard.
No, I was going to say, but that's...
it's not even Seattle proper. You know?
Yeah, Ballard's like that now too, right? But that all goes back to the housing thing.
So I am picking
where they completely converted all the rentals into condos, sold them off, and now there's very little rental property available, so the rental prices are ridiculous.
I am picking my incredibly naive jaw up off the floor because, Bob, that is almost twice what our mortgage is, and we have an 1,800 foot square home with a little over an acre of land and an attached garage.
It's because you live in Alaska.
Well, it's also because I live out in the middle of nowhere in Alaska.
And what I'm talking about is not prime land. This is by the railroads, the railroad tracks down by the industrial area.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, this isn't like prime real estate. They just, this was the area where they had warehouses that weren't being used. They could tear down and turn into condos. Right. And I mean, literally their shoeboxes, like I was claustrophobic. I'm a big guy. Right. So when I'm in small areas for long periods of time, it starts to kind of wear on me a little bit. I would kill myself in that place.
You're like, I can't even come here and sleep at night, let alone do anything else.
The only good thing about it is it didn't have a balcony to the outside. So I couldn't hurl myself off the building. I'd have to go down to my $300 a month parking spot and do it there, you know? Suffocate myself in my car or something.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the thing, is that the pricing has nothing to do with minimum wage, or, you know, it's all demand, right, and supply. And Seattle has very little supply of rental properties,
especially with the, you know, and a lot of that is due to the economy being pretty good. There's so many people employed. I mean, getting in and out of Seattle, that's like an hour and a half trip each way.
Yeah.
And I mean, I drive 14 miles from my house to my work. It takes me like an hour on the way in and an hour 10 on the way home. God, it's ridiculous.
Make me crazy.
Thank God for audiobooks.
And no, podcasts.
If I could just get my self-driving car, I could actually like catch a few hours of sleep on the way in and out.
That is what I'm truly waiting for, right? And man, I'm getting on the freeway and going to sleep. Wake me up when I get there.
So what's our bottom line for Hannah? Yes, no, what the fuck do we do, man?
The way the stuff I've seen suggests, the better way to bring people out of poverty has to do with tax cuts and other discounts and things like that, where you can make programs more available to them. Or, you know, make sure that there's more money in their pocket, you know, like through tax breaks, versus this artificial floor and dealing with the artificial floor. So, I mean,
those things would change your buying power.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I have not been a fan of minimum wage increases going all the way back to when I was 16, 17, and they went from $3.35 an hour to $4.25 in L.A., or in California, which, you know, when I was a kid, we were talking $3.35 an hour. Now we're talking $15 an hour. But here's the thing: their buying power is no better today than my buying power was then. You know.
So what we really do is make it federal, and we link wage to buying power.
Right, and then, but of course, we can't do that because then the Dems won't have something to try to attract voters from the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum to vote for them.
Yeah, I guess the thing about that makes me the maddest is the Dems are running against the most obvious train wreck of a political party they could ever have, like maybe in the history of the country. The Republicans are such just a total pile up. Right now, it's like, how is it that you have to pander to get people to vote for you? Like, you're just mailing it in at this point. I really honestly feel like that's what they're doing, you know? And I feel like this is the first fledgling steps down the same path that the Republicans went down to get to where they're at right now. They stopped trying to actually do something, and they decided, we're cool with being the least of the bad options, and we're just going to go with it.
That's right, because absolutely then it doesn't
require any effort on our part. We can just say nice, pretty things, and you know, we can get people all riled up by, you know, sending out our emails and, you know, whatever, that, oh my God, rednecks with you know, keyboards are saying bad stuff on Twitter about us. Send us money. You know, it's like, really, like, that's what you want to do? Like, how dumb do you think everybody is? You know, and I think honestly, that's why young people are just in droves are just walking away from the Dems, and they're looking at people like Bernie, because I think the Dems are just full of shit right now. Honestly, they are absolutely lying to themselves if they think this works. It might work on older generations, you know, clearly, or whatever, you know, and I know Hillary's got 30 years of name recognition behind her,
mm-hmm.
but those are not enough to beat somebody who's you know, a freaking reality TV star. I mean, you can't tell me this is a winning way to go about it, and they just don't really seem to care. They just want to do the bare minimum. They want to enrich their base, you know, they're people that are keeping them in. They've got the whole pay-to-play politics, which I think Hillary totally represents. And they're just okay with being the least worst option. They're not trying to do anything for anybody but themselves. And it's like, you know what, honestly, I feel like that's how the Republicans got to where they're at now.
Well, you know, and I've said this to Todd, and I think I said it in our last episode, I think both parties are delusional, because if they continue on the course that they are on, they're going to isolate the people who really want change. And I'm not saying I agree with the Trump supporters, but there are a number of people in that group who are looking for significant change. They're looking in the wrong place.
But... Sure. I heard somebody articulate it really well, right? You know, how they felt about the Trump phenomena, right? You know, it's that you've got these people who are generally on the conservative side of things, and they've been lied to for 30 years. They've been buying into the bullshit hook, line, and sinker for 30 years with all these promises of jobs and this and that, and you're going to have everything, and there's going to be a, you know, everybody gets to own an arsenal of guns, and, you know, I mean, it's this redneck, you know, kind of utopia, right? You just let us do what we want to do, and you're going to get everything you want, whatever that is, right? You know, and it's just a couple years away from whenever you ask, right? You know, and I think they're tired of it. They know that they're getting lied to, and I don't blame people for being pissed off at the Republicans. They should be, because it's been total bullshit. Just some of us knew it and called them on it right away instead of trying to buy into it for as long as we did. But the only problem is they responded by getting a hold of a guy that's a bigger dipshit than the ones they already have. You know, and like, this guy is lying to you even more. He's the guy that's like, yeah, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have ever known one of these kind of guys, but you know the guy that knows everybody that created something. He's like the best at something. Like, I had this buddy down in California where no matter what you're talking about, he's like, yeah, I know someone that can do that, get you a great deal. It never materializes, but this is Donald Trump is that guy. When you give that guy a couple of million dollars, you know, a couple billion dollars, you know, he's just totally full of shit. He's a con artist.
Yeah.
You know, total confidence, man. You know, and the thing is on the Dem side, I think people are pissed at that stuff too, and they're getting tired of it. So that's why you've got young people. I think young people these days, you know, my generation and younger, definitely, I think they recognize bullshit better than anybody. And I think that's why they're walking away from the Dems. And that's why Bernie's been as popular as he's been, is because, you know, Bernie's not saying one thing, you know, about how he's really here for the little guy and then drives his, you know, stretched limo home.
Right.
You know, he's on a freaking subway train going home like the rest of us.
And he really, you know, understands how to use the subway.
Yeah. Right. Which I'd be lost for days, but, you know. But I mean, you know, there's a genuineness there that I think people can recognize, and Hillary doesn't have it at all.
She's just
full of shit, and she's got no personality or charisma at all, which is an even bigger turnoff. I mean, I'm honestly terrified that she can't beat Trump, and because I mean, I'm already seeing stuff from kind of left-leaning news sources where they're like, oh, this Bernie's gonna make her lose it, right? They're already looking for
they're blaming him, but it's her.
And it's like even if he runs all the way to the end, first off, Hillary did the same thing and Obama still won landslide when she did it to him. Secondly, like, who can't beat Trump? Like, I'm sorry, man, you could almost take like a potato and bake it and put some butter on it and throw it up there in front of a TV camera, and that could practically beat Trump. I mean, like, come on. This guy is the biggest chump ever. And he's got weird baby hands. I mean, like, come on. Who wants to see that?
It's like I said last week to Todd, I'm terrified. I think she has huge weaknesses, and I'm concerned that she is not going to be able to overcome those and beat Trump. Absolutely.
I think... Sorry, go ahead, Todd.
It's possible. We have to take a wait and see, and don't panic. But
I mean, I'm not yet, but I mean,
come November, everybody needs to get the fuck out and vote, though.
Yeah.
But she's, you know what? She's alienated a lot of people. Yep. You know, I mean, a lot of the Bernie guys, because she was doing this whole, oh, he's being sexist, and it's like, he never even mentioned your gender.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, now, granted, you know, you can't really take somebody's, like, the people that are supporters that do stupid shit and blame the guy who's the politician for it, right? Like, I mean, that's like saying, you know, somebody stole internet and the or stole something online like music, and we need to go find the ISPs and make them responsible. I mean, that everybody is shot down that kind of mentality, right? So let's not do it in politics. It's just it's lame, right? But I mean, the thing is, people are always going to go too far. But he's run, I think, a good campaign. And the thing is I think she's been very disingenuous. She's tried to turn it into this, oh, he's being really, mudslinging, and he's playing a dirty campaign and stuff. And it's like, you think Bernie, who stood up for you and said that he thought the whole the investigations and stuff were bullshit, you think he's playing dirty? Just wait until you get to Trump. I mean, that kind of scares me that she thinks Bernie was too much, right? Because Trump's going to be wanting to compare his dong size with her on the first, I mean, it's going to be something of that quality. It's going to be right in the gutter.
Her penis is bigger.
Oh, well, that's probably too, and hopefully she'll smack him down with it. But I mean, it's just like, wow, come on. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I hear Republicans do to Democrats all the time. Like, right. Oh, you're being lying and you're doing this. It's the whole straw man attack, right?
Yeah.
And she just totally went for it, right? And it's just like, it's hard to get behind that.
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, and I think Todd is to a certain degree as well, although I'm speaking on his behalf.
I'll like it. Tell him to like and he'll like it.
There is so much about Hillary that I can't stand. And there are so many reasons that I've been a Bernie supporter from day one. And I agree. I'm scared.
Unfortunately, we're just going to have to suck it down and vote for her.
And I will, because there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
I kind of thought about it for a while, right? At first, I was kind of really angry at some of the stuff she was doing, and I was just like, screw it. I'm just either not going to vote, or I'm just going to vote right in or whatever, But then I thought about it. It's like, we got Supreme Court nominees on the line about this kind of stuff, which is going to affect people for a long time. We've got, like, way too much to lose by not. So I would say to any of my fellow Bernie bros out there, and I'm saying wear that name as a badge of honor, even though stupid Hillary people came up with that dumb name. you can't not vote this time, and you can't go for Trump, because literally the consequences of this one could last decades.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, I mean, we get a couple of conservative jackwads in the Supreme Court, like they don't have a term limit. Like, they're going to be there until they're dead. And we're lucky that one of the conservative crackpots died finally. Thank God.
But unfortunately, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is on the race to the grave, man.
Right. Right. There's going to be they're guessing like 2 to 3 turnovers here.
Yeah.
It's so important.
We've got to win this. Like, as much as I cannot stand Hillary, We've got to, if she's the nominee and she's the one that gets put up, I get it. I'm right there with all you guys, with Bernie, but we got to get the Democrats in there. Because at least, if nothing else, they might not solve all of our problems. They might not go the way we think Bernie should be going, but they're not going to get somebody that is just an absolute anathema to anybody being able to live their lives, in peace.
You're totally articulating my concern.
That is exactly what we'll get if a conservative idiot like Trump gets in there. I mean, the guy has got a fucking former KKK member as his political advisor. I mean, dude, could you be any more fascist? I mean, I hate to draw the lines, but like, dude, Hitler was a joke when he started out too. And I ain't saying he's any Hitler, but like, fascism always starts out as a laughing matter. And then before you know it, that guy's a real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in there making some bad decisions that affect everybody for a long time. And so I just don't, we can't allow Trump to be that jackass for us, have him go do his next reality TV show and yell, "You're fired," like a dumb ass that he is. Cause honestly, that's the best thing he can do. That's what he's most put on this earth to do, that and sell shitty steaks, apparently.
All right.
Anyways, that's my rant on Trump and how we got to at least vote for Hillary.
This guest editorial brought to you by Bob in Seattle.
Right.
No, this is really good. I think we should start winding this one down.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get to Glass-Steagall tonight.
But oh my God, we finally did get to the minimum wage.
We did, and I agree with you. I'm not sure that Hannah's going to be extremely ecstatic with our answer, but I think it's a rational look at how to give people a living wage and to keep them in a place where they've got a living wage with economic power. without falling into the, we're going to make it 15 and everybody's going to be great. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But the bottom line, in boys and girls, stay in school.
Stay in school and vote.
And vote. Get an education and vote.
Yeah.
Right? Go out and get a skill, get a job that is skilled labor.
Yep, those are hard to replace.
Harder to replace.
Okay.
And the thing is that during the last economic crash, whatever we want to call what happened last time around, the unemployment rate for people with a college degree did not fall below 3%. So.
But I do want to say, close to my heart, agitate for better nurse-patient ratios, because there actually were quite a number of nurses who lost jobs during the economic downturn, and it's because we don't value patient safety the way that we should.
Right.
So that's part of bringing better healthcare to people and making sure that people get good healthcare. So, you know, hold those big corporations that are supposedly delivering healthcare, hold their feet to the fire, because you are losing skilled labor in that sector, and you're going to suffer, and you're going to have more health consequences as a result.
Absolutely. And by the way, I just need to correct myself. What I was trying to say is the unemployment rate for people with a college degree did not go above 3%.
Ah, yes.
Also, earlier in the podcast, I once again referred to Ben Carson as Herman Cain, so...
Did you? I missed that.
I did too.
At the very beginning, I'm pretty sure I did. Which is just is horrible, but it's just because these guys are crazy motherfuckers.
Okay, so I have a Hall of Honorable Mention, and I have a couple of Fuck That Guys. As All if, right. once again, this was not a total Fuck That Guy episode, but... So Hall of Honorable Mention, I am going to push Glenn Thrush and his off-message podcast yet again. Because if you haven't checked this out, you've got to. His last interview was with a guy named Mark Salter, who used to be a John McCain aide and has actually written a couple of books about John McCain. Fascinating. You know, totally not my political leanings at all, but fascinating to listen to this guy talk about Trump and talk about his history with McCain.
All right, one more time. What's the name of that one?
It's called Off Message, and it's by Glenn Thrush, who writes for Politico.
Okay.
I can't Excellent. Tell you how great it is, man. he totally interviews people that I would never listen to otherwise, and he's a good interviewer. So, you guys have anybody you want to mention in the hall?
Nah.
All right. No. So, my fuck that guy. Oh, go ahead.
I do have a fuck that guy.
Okay, go for it. Because I've got a couple.
goes to the openly gay Texas pastor who accused Whole Food Markets of having sold him a cake decorated with an anti-gay slur. Totally made this story up.
I did hear that it was dropped today, so I didn't read the story. So tell those of us who didn't.
Well, he alleged that Whole Foods wrote fag on his cake.
Right, that I knew. But right, how did it come out that he retracted?
Well, because it was very clear that the picture he was showing was completely doctored and that the cake box had been opened to do it and everything. And the bakery team member who decorated the cake was also part of the LGBTQ community.
Well, you know, and the thing is like Whole Foods, come on.
I know, right? Whole fucking Foods.
Now, you said you'd got the cake at Chick-fil-A's. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I might be willing to believe you, but Whole Foods, please. That place is a giant rainbow inside. There's one right across the street from us, and yeah, there's no chance that place wrote anything like that on your cake.
So, and all of the checkers have glitter beards. Rainbow glitter beards.
Yeah. Lumpers and glitter beards. Yeah.
I mean, it was to the point where Whole Foods was actually was going to file a countersuit.
Shit, anyways, for slander.
Yeah.
Just make an example of him.
So did this guy happen to... So he's openly gay. Did he happen to say what his thought process was? Why the hell he did this?
No, his quote today was, "Today I'm dismissing my lawsuit against Whole Foods Market." The statement didn't explicitly say why the guy had perpetrated what is clearly a hoax. But he did say that the company did nothing wrong.
Wow.
And Whole Foods, in a smart play, said, Given the apology and public admission that his story was a complete fabrication, we see no reason to move forward with our countersuit to defend the integrity of our brand and team members. Whole Foods would just like this to go away as quickly as possible. Because this stuff just sticks with you.
Man, just when you think that the straight, stupid people who are trolling Target bathrooms are fucking it all up, now we've got a gay pastor fucking it up.
I mean, the bottom line is people are just fucking weird, right? We got weirdos on all sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
All shapes and sizes.
I'm guessing this guy isn't a logical machine or anything like that. I mean, gay pastor, really? You're part of a religion that's going to persecute you for being yourself? Good job, dude. Way to pick him.
Well, to be clear, he's a pastor of the non-denominational Church of Open Doors.
Whatever the fuck that means.
It's a very small church.
Clearly. But, you know, I mean, it's just... All right. Anyway, that was...
Sorry, I'm sure the name of that church, there's a joke in there somewhere.
We need to let it go because the bigger point was we have weirdos on all sides of the equation, and this guy decided to put himself on the wrong side of the equation for whatever reason. Fucking idiot.
Well played.
Like you said, picking on Chick-fil-A might have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, make it believable at least.
You know, right. Walmart, whatever, right? You know. But yeah, Whole Foods, granola and rainbows.
Granola with glitter.
Yeah, rainbow granola. You know.
So I have two.
All right,
do you have one, Bob?
No. I was just saying I was so glad I have that to look forward to.
So my first one is just a shout out in the most fuck you voice I've got to press spokeswoman Baumgartner. I didn't catch her first name. She is a press spokesperson for Donald Trump. And I watched an interview with her tonight on All In with Chris Hayes. And it's like she just deflects everything. They were specifically talking about Trump's attitudes about women and, oh, you're wrong. Oh, you're reading that wrong. Oh, that's not accurate. And I was stunned. I was completely stunned that a woman could be so stupid and betray her sex the way that this woman is betraying her sex, which sounds completely sexist, but I'm saying it out loud anyway.
There's always some out there. I'm always surprised, but I don't know why, because they never fail to show up.
I know. She's like the Phyllis Schlafly of this day and age, man.
Well, I mean, you know, even when we had slavery in this country, there were slaves that, you know, they wanted to argue to protect their chains. I mean, it's just, makes no sense to me why somebody would deliberately argue to, you know, to support something that's against their own best interest.
Right, but to demean themselves. They've
always been there, always. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. So, that's sad to hear, but, you know, who would have guessed that Trump would have found that person?
Right. And she was not a 10. So my big fuck that guy, though, and this is really serious, and it kind of goes to our discussion about minimum wage and cost of living and all that kind of stuff. So Oxfam, and I heard this story on the Young Turks, just released a report that details 3 years of investigation into America's chicken plants, our chicken processing plants. Todd, you may have seen my rant on Facebook about this. They looked at four major processors. I can remember the name of one because I've bought their product before, which is Tyson Chicken. There are employees, most of their employees have resorted to wearing adult briefs, adult diapers, when they're working on the processing floor because they cannot get relief to even go to the bathroom.
That's sanitary.
It's criminal.
And even if they call for relief, they say that 9 times out of 10, the relief actually does not show up. So they're stuck on the processing floor anyway. So
yeah, that's, you know, and the thing is that there should be a labor board investigation because it's criminal.
Absolutely.
Because the labor laws are very clear about the fact that you get, you know, X number of minutes worth of breaks for every Y number of hours worked.
And so we absolutely need to think about this from two perspectives, which is absolutely, this is breaking labor law, and it's unfathomable to me that in this country we are seeing this gross violation of labor law, and I use the word gross with the double meaning. But the other thing is, quite honestly, as you pointed out, Bob, sanitation. The report also indicated that each of these processors touches 40 chickens per minute. So we've got people we've got people who are soiling themselves in order to stay on the processing floor and keep their jobs, and they're
that's
touching
some dedication right there.
Yeah, no kidding. That's,
you couldn't pay me enough.
It's not dedication, it's desperation.
Right, because that's minimum wage.
Right, race to the bottom again.
Complete unskilled labor.
Yeah. And then each one of those people is soiling themselves. Well, I shouldn't say each. A number of those people are soiling themselves and then processing your chicken that's going to end up on your table.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is they'll, you know, they're going to come out and be like, oh, we didn't know. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You knew damn well that's what was going on. And you were just like, I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
So definitely fuck those motherfuckers. And I'm going
to
pay.
I hope they get their asses nailed to the wall by everybody that's got the ability to do it.
I'm definitely, from here on out, buying locally sourced chicken from our friend. And I'll tell you what, it's probably twice as much as the chicken that I could buy at the grocery store. But at least I know she didn't have to shit herself to take care of her chickens.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. So those are my fuck that guys. It just, the Oxfam report just made me really, really angry.
All right. Well, on that shitty note.
Quite literally.
Literally.
Dig us out of this. Give us a Neil Gaiman quote.
Well, so the guys know I was scrambling for a Gaiman quote tonight because, frankly, it's my first day off and I'm still kind of in the Walking Dead mode, zombie mode. But I did find an article that indicated there's been a little bit of a strong discussion, shall I say, about Neil Gaiman's $45,000 speaking fee. And here's his response, which I think is a really valid thing to say when you're talking about large sums of money like that. He says, "The vast majority of events that I do and of the talks, lectures, or readings that I give are done for free, often as charity fundraisers. I figure money like that, sort of out of the blue windfall money, is best used for good deeds. So I led a couple of small, needy charities, one doing social work, the other one library/book-based, know that I would be passing the money on to them." So, there you go.
You hear that, Hillary?
Yeah, no doubt. Still release those speeches, bitch.
Yeah. Best speeches on the planet.
And again, you know, it's another one of those things of, why would anybody criticize anybody for taking money to do a job? You know, this is the one thing that just drives me nuts, to kind of wrap up on the rants. If somebody's willing to pay me $45,000 to do a gig, why am I a fucker for taking the money?
Well, and the fact that he takes part of it and turns it into charitable work.
But my point being is, even if he didn't, right? Even if he wasn't a good guy, you know, let's say even if he was, say, I don't know, an NFL star.
Oh, he only writes for a living. Come on.
Honestly, I don't have a problem with it until you're a politician and the people buttering you up are people that want favors. Because then there's another word for it, and it's called bribery. Right? Just because it's legal doesn't make it okay, Hillary. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Oh, come on, just say it, Hillary.
Otherwise, if I could get somebody to pay me $100,000 to come in and talk about, you know, video games, awesome. I'm doing it. You know, if you can make the money, go for it. Just don't be a politician getting bribed.
Well, and so here's the other thing that Gaiman says about this. He says, "On the other hand, I'm really busy and I ought to be writing, so pricing appearances somewhere between ridiculously high and obscenely high helps to discourage most of the people who want me to come and talk to them, which I could make a full-time profession if I didn't say no a lot." So he's actually safeguarding his primary profession, which I respect.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with what he's doing at all.
Well, it's Neil Gaiman. I don't think there's anything wrong with Neil Gaiman, period. So.
Period. That's true. That's true. All right. So next week, maybe we'll talk about Glass-Steagall.
Wait a minute. Which one of you is snoring? So I think if we're going to talk Glass-Steagall, we might actually have to invoke Dodd-Frank as well, because they're often tacked onto each other like they're completely related, and not so much.
Not so much. Yeah, we could definitely, you know, we can have a total policy wonk next time. Totally get our four or five listeners to just go, yeah, thanks, guys.
Skipping that one. Hey, we might have six.
The insomnia episode.
We totally might have six.
Cool.
One of the security personnel with whom I work is interested in what we're doing, so I sent that information to that person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Climbing the ranks.
We are, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to try to get this out again. We're going to try to get this out by Friday, which will probably mean this weekend, but we will get it out within a week.
So I do want to say that, Bob, you can come back anytime.
Yeah, Todd kind of is like, hey, you want to do stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I got laundry to do. So, but you know, some of the stuff you guys talk about, I really like, and you know, and I'm overly opinionated about things, and you know.
Absolutely, but it went well.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was very good. It. All right, you guys, have a great week.